Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
Fox 26, Breaking Bond segment. A man free on bond for a murder charge after prosecutors say he shook and beat to death his seven-month-old daughter, now a wanted fugitive. 176th District Court Judge Nikita Harmon thought it would be a great idea to give him a low bond on the murder charge, because it's just his daughter, not hers, despite a previous conviction for physically attacking his wife and also violating probation, because Nikita Harmon doesn't care about other people or seven-month-old babies that are killed. Because her worst fear is that Rodney Ellis and the social justice Democrats will target her if, when arrested for a violent crime, a bad person is kept in jail till they can meet their bond. Nikita Harmon cares more about re-election than she does the Democrats being murdered in her district. Update, Breaking Bond, Fox 26.
In 2019, Albert Colin Zuniga got probation for physically attacking his wife. According to court documents, Zuniga continuously violated his probation.
He gets charged with not one, but two additional crimes. He gets charged with carrying a handgun in a vehicle and also resisting arrest.
His probation is revoked. Zuniga spends a year in jail. Last August, he's charged with murder. Police say he shook and beat his seven-month-old daughter to death.
He actually sits in custody for maybe about a month and a half or so.
Zuniga becomes a free man in October after 176th Criminal District Court Judge Nikita Harmon lowers his $150,000 bond. Even though he was ordered to wear an electronic monitoring device, Zuniga is now nowhere to be found.
The bottom line is Albert Zuniga, now, you know, charged with murder of an infant, is now a wanted fugitive.
We've noticed a number of defendants free on bond for domestic abuse charges go on to murder their domestic abuse victim.
Right now, I'm up to 17, and also three unborn children. So it's a serious situation.
Zuniga joins a long list of defendants free from jail on multiple felony bonds who are now wanted fugitives. No Harris County official, like County Judge Lena Hidalgo, can say how many there are out there.
If they gather the information, it lets the public know just how many are out there, and they don't want that to happen because it looks bad on all the judges.
In just the last few months, at least two law officers have been killed by defendants who forfeited their bonds and became wanted fugitives.
When was the last time you found somebody on the run for killing a police officer or brutally murdering an 80-something-year-old person and found out this is their first offense? Never is. They're always on bond.
Today, a new bail reform law recently passed by the Republican-led Texas legislature takes effect. Senate Bill 6, also called the Damon Allen Act, eliminates PR, that's a personal reconnaissance bond, for violent offenses. These Democrat judges, when a violent offender is finally arrested and brought down, the Democrat judges go, okay, so you just murdered your ex, and you're really mad that her dad's the one who called the cops on you, right? Yeah. Okay, well, you're going to have a trial in 6 months to a year, so in the meantime, you just go do whatever you need to do. You'll probably need to change shirts because you got blood all over it. And if you want to go kill her dad or her sister or the children you have together, go ahead on, okay? Just remember, it was a Democrat that let you out. This law is named after a state trooper who was killed on Thanksgiving 2017 during a traffic stop. The gunman, DeBrett Black, who had a history of violence against law enforcement, was out on bond. Back in September, when the legislation was signed into law, quote, the magistrate who was considering bail for the person who killed Damon Allen did not have access to the criminal history that could have kept him behind bars, end quote. Under Senate Bill 6, judges must now take a suspect's criminal past into consideration before setting bail. Casey Allen, the trooper's widow, says about the new law, quote, the murderer still went to jail, and my life and my kids' lives were forever changed by actions that can't be taken back. It's been an honor to help work on this bill. She said she hopes this new legislation shows that the state supports officers, adding many people in the world see law enforcement not as people who are trying to help, but as the enemy. Wow. Well, we have a new variant. It appears to be no worse than the common cold, but that doesn't stop the media or the Democrats from trying to use it to wrench more power and more eyeballs for their evening news, but we won't participate. Omicron, they call it.
Said about COVID. We let the blind scientists lead the way. Forgive my lack of trepidation on this treadmill. I'm not a bit concerned when they say screams, we're goners, nothing but doom and glooming every day. Oh yeah, they said I died from Delta, something about a double mask, but I'm not afraid of Omicron today. If they cry wolf a hundred times and you're still running, if you trust the goons and not your eyes, maybe the problem's not the virus, it's your focus. Turn off the news and step outside. Omicron. They roll out Dr. Fauci. He always screams, we're goners, nothing but doom and glooming every day. They said I'd die from Delta, something about a double mask, but I'm not afraid of Omicron today. Afraid of Omicron, I'm not afraid of Omicron, I'm not afraid of Omicron today. I'm not afraid of Omicron, not when there's ivermectin, I'm not afraid of Omicron today. I'm not afraid of Omicron, pyro sigma upsilon, I'm not afraid of Omicron today. I'm not afraid of Omicron, pandemic's over, move along, I'm not afraid of Omicron today. I'm not afraid of Omicron, don't be afraid of Omicron, laugh when they say Omicron today. I'm not afraid of Omicron, I'm not afraid of Omicron, I'm not afraid of Omicron today.
The Michael Berry Show.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. thepipeyardinc.com. 409-788-PIPE. 409-788-PIPE. So yesterday I was talking about how I can never remember which months have 31 days and which ones don't. And I read a story that in 1991, guitarist Jerry Cantrell went on a hunting trip. He's supposed to be back by December 1st so that Alice in Chains can open for Van Halen in Memphis. A very important booking for the band. But he wasn't there because he thought there were 31 days in November, and apparently there aren't. So I'm not the only one. This one dude sends me an email, and he says, Michael, just line up the knuckles, and the non-knuckles are 30. I can't remember what it was. Well, yeah, but which one do you start with? Where do you start? Okay, so is that how that works? Okay, let's try this. January has 31, February doesn't. March 31, April doesn't. May has them, June doesn't, right? July has it. Now, do I come down here? You don't do the middle knuckle. Okay, July, August has it. September doesn't. October has it. November doesn't. December has it. Okay. No, you don't. No, because you're going 1-2-1-2. Think about that. Yeah, but you just stop at that point. You don't move to the next year or anything. No, apparently that's okay. All right. But that's kind of a dumb way to do it. I don't like that one. I'm going to come up with a better. Yeah. Let's see. I will tell you, I get aggravated when people will send me an email and say, hey, we're going to try to roll that out by 8:17. Oh, man, why did you do 8? I don't know what 8 is. What month is 8? In-N-Out Burger in Los Angeles refuses to become the vaccination police for the government. As Los Angeles starts fining businesses this week for not enforcing the city's vaccine passport system. But this report, which really should be coming off as a, wow, look what In-N-Out Burger's doing. They're standing up for themselves. Instead, it sounds like a Karen hit piece, a snitch piece. CBS LA.
Can I get number one with mustard and ketchup?
At the In-N-Out in Hollywood, it's business as usual.
No onion.
And business as usual could be a problem for Southern California's iconic burger chain because restaurant employees are required now to ask for proof of vaccination if you want to eat indoors in the city of LA. And if they don't do that, they can be fined now.
Will that be for here?
Yeah, for here.
The In-N-Out worker did not ask for proof of vaccination, and neither were any of the other customers in line when we were there.
Get 54 feet, you're good and ready.
And we weren't checked while we were at the table either. It was the same story here at the In-N-Out in Universal City and four other In-N-Out locations in Los Angeles that we visited on Tuesday night, including locations in Panorama City, Sherman Oaks, and Van Nuys. We were not asked for proof of vaccination and did not witness any other customers being asked either. When the first vaccine mandates in the state began this fall in the Bay Area, In-N-Out refused to comply. It was fined and forced to close all indoor dining rooms. In October, they released a statement that read in part, In-N-Out Burger strongly believes in serving all customers who visit us and making all customers feel welcome. We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. And now it appears the SoCal-based chain is prepared to see how far it can go to defy LA's rule, the strictest in the nation, despite the threat of fines. And it would appear some customers agree with that stance.
You have the right to eat here or not, or they have the right. It's their business, not ours. You know, whatever they like to do, it's up to them.
Los Angeles will start fining businesses this week if they don't enforce the city's vaccine passport system. Businesses will be responsible for vetting those with medical and religious exemptions. Before I read this story to you, you see how this plays out, right? Black lady walks in. Business is required to ask her to see her vaccine passport. She says, "You're just asking me because I'm black." You know this is going to happen, right? When Eric Garner was choked out several years ago, he was standing out in front of a convenience store selling Lucy's. A Lucy is an individual cigarette. On street corners in poor neighborhoods across the country of the inner city, a carton of cigarettes is prohibitively expensive. A packet is too much for people that deal in the cash economy. I mean, the reality is there are people turning tricks for cash. There are people selling drugs. There are people scrounging and scrapping. They're standing out in the middle of the intersection for cash. That's happening. We know this. And those people have a dollar here and a dollar there, $2 here, $2 there, and they have an immediate need for instant gratification with a cigarette, for instance. Okay. So Eric Garner is out in front, big fat guy. He buys a pack or maybe even a carton of cigarettes. And let's say a carton, how many is in a carton again? Let's say 10. It doesn't matter. The cigarette smokers can all tell me, but y'all are pariahs and everybody but me hates you, so you don't get to be mad at me. So let's say there's 10 of them in there. So, but you can't afford a pack. He paid 10 bucks for it. And he sells them for $2 a piece because a guy needs a cigarette or thinks he does at that moment. Well, I guess if he thinks he needs it, he needs it. And he's willing to pay $2. So old boy is going to make $10 off that packet or whatever you make. Cops come up. You can't be selling Lucy's. They go to try to subdue him. He pushes back and he's fat and he dies. George Floyd all over again. Well, why is that even criminal? Who does it harm, honestly? It was a Democrat that made that rule. It's a dumb rule. It's a dumb law. But you have all these little ticky-tack laws that, frankly, affect poor blacks more than anybody else in the country. It's a fact. And what it means is cops are constantly having to have engagements with people for things other than committing murder. And so now you create this scenario where you see Democrats love ticky-tack laws. But who enforces the ticky-tack law? Cops. And who are they going to end up enforcing it against? Poor blacks that are out in public. They're not in cars. If you're walking a street corner or standing on a street corner, it's a lot easier for a cop to see that you're selling Lucy's than if you're inside your van. Earlier this month, Los Angeles imposed vaccine passport requirements for those who want to patronize restaurants, gyms, movie theaters, and other public venues. This week, businesses that do not check their customers' vaccination status will be liable for citations and fines. A first failure to enforce the city's vaccine requirements will net a business a warning. Second violation can result in a $1,000 fine. Fines can rise as high as $5,000 for a business with four or more violations. LA's vaccine passport system allows for medical and religious exemptions, which individual businesses will be responsible for vetting. The threat of fines is frustrating some L.A. business owners. One restaurateur tells the L.A. Times, "I have to be the bodyguard for the city. At the end of the day, we're doing their job. If I don't let people in, I don't have customers. If I don't have customers, that means I don't have a business. And the rent, I have to keep paying. The permits, I have to keep paying." Government never ran business. They couldn't. They're not innovators. They're not marketers. They're not clever. They're not managers. They don't inspire. They don't incentivize. They don't motivate. They don't compete. Government doesn't compete. They have a monopoly on power that they use through the police to enforce. It's on you to do our bidding. So imagine the South Korean, Vietnamese, or Indian store clerk hiding behind the glass with the wall there, telling the guy, "I'm going to need to see your exemption docs," the black guy in the inner city. Oh, it's going to get good.
And this other guy, Michael Berry. ça c'est vrai, j'ai de gagner. Casse les manches comme Samuel, Samuel, un petit. 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 Et si y'a trop, on peut toujours appeler Benjamin Mendy. Et si y'a trop, on peut toujours appeler Benjamin Mendy.
Warren, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, yes, Michael. First of all, since I don't live here anymore, it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Secondly, I was watching a movie last night called The Last Banker, and it's interesting, I won't go into the details of the movie, but what the Nazis did everywhere, you had to have papers. You had to have papers. So, what is this not the first step to having some kind of national ID required?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have seen government up close, and it is frightening. The kinds of people who get into government are unlike any other group of people I've ever met before or since. They are absolutely untethered, disconnected from reality. They have no self-awareness at all. They honestly believe that everything that happens, happens because of them. You could eliminate what they do, and In-N-Out Burger would still make burgers. But in their mind, everyone operates off of them. They are in charge. These are people who've wanted to be in charge from the earliest ages. You can see this in The Sandlot. You can see this with children. There are certain children who are very bossy and controlling. They will use any technique, and they experiment with what works, but they will use anything and everything to gain control over the group. They want to be in charge of the group. It is a mental health issue. It is a mental click with them that they can't stand not to be in control of everyone else's doings. They want to be up in front saying Simon says, and everyone else has to wait until they give the order. These types of people are drawn to the political process. Rule making for the rest of us and rule enforcing, because what's the point of making rules if people can shirk them? So in addition to wanting to make rules for everything and everyone that won't apply to them, you'll find that the laws never apply to the maker of the laws. In addition to that, there is the frustration that some people may not be encumbered by their rules. Because rules aren't really a show of power unless they're inconvenient to abide by. So every time a person is stopped and their papers checked, that's an inconvenience. That's a reminder that I write the rules and you follow them. And by the way, my family can go on through. They won't need to be stopped and checked. My family won't need to wear, or my friends won't need to wear a mask out in public. We've seen that in the midst of all this, Nancy Pelosi caught again, Joe Biden caught again not wearing a mask. And here's the thing. If you're not wearing a mask, when you're telling everyone else they have to wear a mask or they'll die, that means you don't really believe they have to wear a mask or they'll die. Joe Biden is in the highest risk, or one of the highest risk categories. He's old, very old. So if he believes that the mask makes a difference, he and the Secret Service would insist that he wear a mask. But they don't. The Clintons, never a day in the private sector. Why would they? They knew that in third world countries, you amass power and wealth through the government, and that's how they lived their lives. Part of the trick, part of the asset that made the Clintons winners is that they play the game differently than anyone else. They played the game to win and nothing else at all costs. If we have to pretend to be married when we're not, I don't know that the Clintons killed anyone, but I will tell you this. I no longer think it's crazy to suggest that it's a real odd coinkydink how many people around them die. It's real odd. Hey, Ramon, check that and see if that's that old barbecue guy, the beef jerky. Is it? I got a message. I put in a call. I got a message that, let's see if I can find it here. Is that him? What? Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. We're trying to get this fella on the line. What is he doing that's more important than talking to us? Just out of curiosity. Logan Ohl is the guy's name, O-H-L, and their beef jerky is the best beef jerky I've ever had. It's called Ohl Style Beef Jerky, Ohl, O-H-L. They're in Needville. And I got a post this morning from my buddy Cody Johnson that owns CanvasPress.com, which, by the way, I don't normally talk specials and discounts and all that, but I think it's through the end of this week. When I take a photo at my kids' sporting events with my camera, I then immediately go to CanvasPress.com and upload it. And you send it over and you can pick. And we just do little ones, but I'll have it printed on a little canvas. But if it's a nice photo, I'll send it, and it's incredibly inexpensive, and it's at your house in a couple of days and ready to frame or put on your desk or whatever, and that's how I preserve all these memories. Anyway, Cody owns CanvasPress.com. But he sent me a message because he was the one that turned me on to Ohl Style Beef Jerky. Been around since 1980. There was a post that was put up. John Ohl started making his famous jerky in 1980, and that their smokehouse caught on fire. I don't think it burned the whole thing down, but apparently it put a dent in it. And their stalwarts of Needville, there was a post put up by a friend of a friend about the fact that they sponsor the events in Needville for the country Christmas. But I just wanted to see how bad the burn was and if we needed to do anything to help. And hopefully in the process, we might score some old style beef jerky, because I'll buy as much beef jerky as I need to help him out. Although that might not be what he needs right now, as more people trying to buy beef jerky than he's trying to get his business from being burned out.
The information that I get from the show that I don't seem to get from other places.
The Michael Berry Show.
I look for trouble and I found it, son. Straight down the barrel of a lawman's gun. I try to run, but I don't think I can. You make one move and you're a dead man. There ain't living long.
Logan Ohl is our guest. Logan, what happened at your barbecue joint?
Yes, sir. So about, I'd say probably around 4:30 yesterday, we had our pit catch on fire. It was a grease fire and started to spread to the awning that covers it up outside and a little screened area we have that connects to the building. And actually the guy who was there didn't even know it was on fire, and somebody screamed from outside, the place is on fire, and he runs outside with a fire extinguisher and starts to put it out and started to spread again. And, you know, luckily somebody called in to our local fire department, and they came out and rushed out as quickly as possible. And
maybe he just thought he was doing a good job, because a lot of times if I'm in a really good bit, friends of mine will email me and say, "You're on fire."
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure he was taken back a little bit and shocked. But
so he was the only one there?
He was. Everybody else had left, and I had ran to another town about 30 minutes south, and was on the way back. And
what was the other town you had headed to?
I was coming from West Columbia,
okay.
Brazoria area.
What do you do over there?
So I was actually going to look at a house out for sale, but you know, I take jerky all down 36
through West Columbia, Brazoria, Sweeney, Lake Jackson, Angleton, and back up north.
You do your own deliveries?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How do they pay that? Do they pay for that right there on the spot, or you bill them at the end of the month?
They do. They pay for me. We wholesale to them, and then they turn around, mark it up, and retail it to their customers.
How much is an average order that you drop off to somebody?
I would say probably around, you know, to each store, around $150 or so.
And so how many drops will you make on the way to West Columbia like you were doing?
Oh, maybe about, you know, anywhere from 15 or so, roughly on average.
Okay. How many days a week are you making deliveries personally?
Typically, I do one large route, and then, you know, we have stores that are here and there by themselves, within a, you know, close proximity to the shop, so I don't got to travel too far to go to just one or two stores, and, you know, I'll hit those, you know, a few days out of the week.
And most people, are you delivering weekly or monthly?
I deliver weekly, but I go different route every week. So, you know,
okay. So for a store, how often are they gonna receive your jerky?
About every 3 weeks.
Okay. Okay. And how much damage was done to your shop?
You know, luckily, like I said, somebody had yelled out to my guy. He was actually inside taking care of some customers and didn't even realize the pit caught on fire. And
do you know how the pit caught on fire?
No, we don't. We think it was just a grease fire.
All right. So how much burned?
Not that much. I mean, the pit's still fine. You know, it's solid steel, so, you know, it didn't get near damaged. The fire kind of went up and then started to spread to the roof. They were able to kind of put it out. I think my guy put it out with the fire extinguisher first, and then, you know, it caught back on. But by that time, the fire department came and they put it out and didn't really spread too much to the building. So, you know, overall, I mean, we got really lucky. It could have been a lot worse. You know, the fire chief there said, you know, I mean, it could have been really bad if it would have spread to that roof and it would have just took the whole place down.
Is Needville's fire department 100% volunteer or partly volunteer?
You know, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. I couldn't answer that question.
Are you going to bring them some beef jerky today?
Yeah, I need to. Yeah.
Well, I figured that would be high on the list.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So what all do you do there? Do you barbecue and beef jerky?
Yes, sir. Yep, that's mainly what we do. I mean, we were known for our jerky. It's really what everything started from. And, you know, then whenever we moved to Needville almost 30 years ago now, my dad started doing barbecue and retailing it there. And then we wholesale the jerky to the stores. We sell online. And we do processing for people as well. So, you know, if anybody wants to bring us their deer meat or anything, we'll make their jerky or sausage for them also.
I notice it says Ohl, O-H-L, your last name, Ohl Style Beef Jerky. There's a picture of you out in front of your shop. Ohl Style Beef Jerky, and then barbecue and like a hand-painted longhorn on the side. And it says, in quotes, to go. How come that's in quotes?
I don't know. You know, to be honest, that painting was done probably when I was a kid and okay. Never been painted over.
You can't be responsible for it. But then it has a phone number, and the phone number says 793-5440.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the area code.
Yeah, it's 979. All it needs is 979.
Anybody that's making the call knows the phone number, but I like it because it's kind of a throwback. All right, so what makes your jerky so good, Justin?
Logan.
Justin Logan. It's one of those names from that era.
Yes, sir.
What makes your jerky so good?
You know, our jerky is totally different than most of the stuff that you find on the stores, unless you're buying it from the store that we deliver to. You know, it's all
Why
done
is it
by
different?
Hand.
Okay.
It's all done by hand. You know, it's hand cut, hand sliced, and marinated. And we actually, believe it or not, most people don't believe it, but we take each piece and string it with a needle and thread and hang it up in the smokehouse.
Come on now.
Every single piece is individually strung.
Somebody told me that you personally taste every piece before it goes out. You suck on a little, make sure the juice is right, and put it back. Is that true?
No, of course not.
Isn't that you?
Yeah.
All right. So, so do you want people to come by there today, or you can't handle it?
No. Yeah, we're open. Our really the only thing that really got damaged, you know, other than a little bit of fire damage, was our phone line was down, and he was out there this morning about 8:30 fixing it. So I haven't heard from him yet. He might have called me while I've been sitting here talking to you. I'm not 100% sure. But
and you're at Sam's right now buying a fire extinguisher?
Yes, sir. You know, we had one yesterday, and I think it's what saved us. If not, I think the fire probably would have spread before the fire department got there. So,
all right, well, here's the deal, Logan.
I need to replenish that.
Are you going to be at the shop today so people can stop in on you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
What's your address?
I'll be there in about 30 minutes. It's 3109 School Street in Meadville, Texas, 77461.
3709?
3109.
Oh, sorry. 3109 School Street, like a school you go to?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's the deal. I'm going to talk to the Attorney General real quick.
Okay.
And then I want to ask you about the jerky making process. So run in and get your fire extinguisher and run back, and we'll call you back either at 9:15 or 9:30, depends on how long ago with the Attorney General. And are you going to be at the front greeting our listeners as they come in today?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to send you a bunch of people over. I need you to hold back some jerky for me and Ramon, so don't sell out the last of it, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I got to go to how far are you from Rosenberg? I got to be in Rosenberg this afternoon for a dental appointment.
Oh, I'm 15 minutes.
I'm popping in on you. All right, we'll call you back at 9:30.
Go get your
fire extinguisher. Be quick. I like him. Attorney General Ken Paxton coming up.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.